Our next speaker is Vicky Cowell. Vicky's the director of an organisation called Patient's Voice for Medical Advance. I think the name explains what it does, and I'm sure that Vicky will do so further.
Hi, I'm Vicky. I'm very proud to be director of the Patients Group, a national patients group, which doesn't just operate in the UK. We also have members all the way across Europe, some in Australia and New Zealand and America. Patients' Voice for Medical Advance was formed by a very brave and captivating individual in 1991. His name was Andrew Blake. He was the son of a farmer, and he had a genetic incurable condition called Friedreich's ataxia. Now, Andrew had had enough when he heard about the distal bombing at Bristol University in 1991, when one eminent scientist's life was threatened, and the child very nearly died because the bomb actually hit a pushchair. Luckily, the child did survive. Andrew saw this broadcast on the news and thought, this is not on. I'm a patient. I am looking to researchers to try and save my life and other people's. Patients have got to stand up and be counted and speak out on behalf of our research community. So Andrew formed a group then, and it's called Seriously Ill for Medical Research. I became involved with SIMR, as it was then known, a year later. And I'm not a scientist, like Nikki. I'm a mother first and foremost. And I've only got one child, and my child will be 21 in July. My child should not actually be alive. She was diagnosed at 3.5 months with cystic fibrosis, and I think cystic fibrosis has probably been in the news quite a lot. It is a genetic condition, and it kills. And it kills thousands of children and young adults every single year. Laura is alive today because of animal research, and she's living proof that that research works. And in fact, the Sun featured her last week in the health section piece, and she said here, I would have died without animal testing. Now, Laura is a unique individual like Andrew Blake. Since she was 6 years old, she's been speaking out on behalf of researchers. She held a CF mouse when she was 9. She's met a lot of top researchers, and she's done her own looking into her disease and what's involved and what the research has involved. And she's an individual now who has her say, and very bravely does because of our current climate. But she's always been speaking out, and I'm ever so proud of her, obviously. But I'm more proud of the fact that our researchers have helped her and thousands and millions of other people like her to be alive today, to have a quality of life, because at the end of the day, patients, cures are wonderful. You know, we'd love a cure for every disease, but we live in a reality world, and what we really want is the quality of life. We want the better treatments, we want better therapies. We know one day, hopefully, there will be a cure, but in our lifetime, to be realistic, what we just want is better quality of life, because that's what matters. It's no good living to 120 if you don't even know you're there. We want the better treatments and the better therapies, and our scientists in this country are some of the world's leaders, and we should be really proud of the work they're doing. The other part of our job is to try and educate the public. We're not there to make everybody believe what we say. We don't want everybody to agree with us. But we do go around schools, we go to universities, we go to media, very heavily featuring the media on radio and television, just trying to get our stories across. And it is working. It's taking time, but it is working. And it's thanks a lot to do with Laurie, who's invested a lot of time and effort since January with protests. But we've known about Oxford, and we've supported the Oxford lab, and everybody has got some kind of attribute to meet to this laboratory. This laboratory is here for everybody, not just for people of Oxford, but for people worldwide. And everybody has got to lend a hand and support it. You have to speak out whenever you get the opportunity. Please speak out. We also believe, as has been mentioned tonight, that animals are obviously very important, but they are very, very worthy. We don't think animals should just be used willy-nilly. Their welfare is of the utmost importance. And every year, for the last 4 years, as an organisation, we've given an animal welfare award. And the first year, our award actually went to a team of people at Huntingdon Life Sciences. Now, if any of you had seen that Dispatches programme a few years ago, when there was all the furore about HLS, I think you'd agree that the fact that 5 years later they've been turned around, the people have been sacked that have risen roles in that, and it was awful and it shouldn't have happened, but the teams of people working now at HLS are incredibly brave, and their welfare is second to none, and hand on heart I can say that because I've been there many times. And without those people doing that work at HLS, and probably the only people in the country, along with the halls, who've had the most aggro, I'd say we wouldn't have some of our research. And they do a lot of testing there, and we should be grateful to people like that as well. Now, every year we give this award, and you know what? We can't publicise it. The award has to be given in secret. We have to go to a venue that we can't talk about. We don't actually know where we're going until we turn up at an airport. This isn't right. These laboratory technicians, every day of their lives, are doing work for patients all over the world. And yet, we have to be so careful because of the threats that we can't actually publicise the fact that we are giving this award for animal welfare. It's crazy, but that's unfortunately the situation that we live in. It doesn't stop us though. We give it every single year, and every single year somebody wins that award who deserves it. And it makes us feel great that there are people out there who are striving to improve the day-to-day care and quality of life of the animals that they're using. Because we ought to be grateful to the animals, and we are grateful to them, because they're helping us. The other thing is, we have a magazine. Again, it's something that we're quite proud of. It's not huge, it's 8 pages. It's called Hope, and Nikki referred to Hope. Because at the end of the day, hope is what patients have. It's what we all have, and let's face it, we're all patients one day, aren't we? We all take pills, and we have some kind of ailment that we want a cure for or a remedy. We're all patients or potential patients. Now, Hope, in the last issue, covered the Oxford Laboratory, and it covered the March. And because we're a patients group, we try and write things that are of interest to patients. We aren't writing for scientists, we're writing for patients. In this, we've got Professor John Stein, who very kindly talked to us about his own research at Oxford University. And also, we have a patient who's been at the cutting edge, Mike Robbins, some of you might know and might have seen in the media, who has Parkinson's disease. And Professor Tipu Aziz assisted Mike greatly to have an incredible quality of life that he did not have before. He had deep brain stimulation. So this is the sort of thing that we have and that we produce, along with videos and school talks, to just try and get our message across. As I said, we don't want everybody to come on our side. We're not expecting that. But if 10 people go away and discuss the issue, then we've done a good job. Because that's 10 people who will talk about it with other people. And the message gets across, and it's a snowballing effect. And yes, and as I say, you know, we know we have to use animals. We know they're important. But their welfare is always very, very important. And that's why we support the 3 R's. Refinement, replacement, and reduction. And we have some very eminent people supporting us. We have Jane Asher, we have Esther Ranson, we have Lord Sainsbury, we have Professor Colin Blakemore, we have Professor John Stein, we have Professor Dana Nancy Rothwell. And all these people have been there when we wanted quotes, when we wanted something to talk to the media. And they've been brave enough to speak out. Now, I was at a meeting last week in London, run by the Science and Media Centre. And I was invited there because they were having what they call a media reduction day. And normally when you go there, it's the same people. And last week, I think I recognised 5 faces out of 200, and that was brilliant. Because all those new faces are new people who are potentially going to speak out for the first time. And we need more people like that. So please, do speak out and do support the research and do support the protest.